Hello and welcome to Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Sha Mishler.
And I'm Michael Hanley.
In today's edition, we introduce you to our Global Shapers community. We speak with the man in charge, David Aikman, and we also introduce you to two of the Shapers, Eliana Sabag and Sarah Noble.
Fifty percent of the world's population is under the age of 27, and the majority live in urban areas. With this in mind, the World Economic Forum is becoming increasingly aware that solutions to our global challenges must engage youth at all levels, locally, regionally, nationally, and globally. We spoke with David Aikman. He's a senior director here at the Forum and looks after the Global Shapers community.
The Global Shapers community was created, I think, out of two needs. The first is just from the World Economic Forum's philosophy. We're a multi-stakeholder organization, and we believe that you've got to have all stakeholders of society represented when you have your meetings, when you talk about important issues, when you look for solutions to the world's challenges. And if you just think about youth as a stakeholder in society, with over 50% of the world's population now being under 27, it seemed to us that something was missing if we were going to be having all these meetings and discussions about the future without the voices of the future present. But secondly, we've seen that this generation, more than any other before it, is really empowered thanks to technology and information. And so, in fact, there's a tremendous power there, and there's a tremendous movement for change, there's a tremendous potential for change. And so, more than just having those voices represented, there's probably a lot of solutions to the world's problems within that generation.
Now, I mean, we're talking about a generation, young people between the ages of 20 and 30. Mm-hmm. Can they be taken seriously? I mean, I think this is the question that might be on many people's minds. Can this generation at that age be taken seriously?
Well, I think what's great about being 20-something is that you still feel that change is possible. You're maybe not as cynical as the rest of us. And I think if you combine access to tremendous amounts of information, people who are networked and know how to go and find information that they don't have, and you combine that with the idealism, I think you've got something very powerful. If you think about traditional power, it's those who held on to information and then sort of doled it out very carefully. That was the people who had power in the past. Mm-hmm. And now the paradigm has shifted. The people who have power now are those who spread information as widely and rapidly as possible. The nodes in the network, the superconductors of information, those are the people who have power in today's paradigm. And I think that also corresponds to sort of a change that we're going to see in leadership. So it used to be that in the past, there was kind of this linear form of leadership, where your past experience was a really good predictor of future results. What you did as an executive in the Philippines could then be replicated to your posting in Tokyo, and so on and so forth. But the world's kind of changed, and it's much more complex than it used to be, and there's a lot more interconnectivity. And so I think it's not necessarily the case that what worked in the past is going to work again in this current situation. You see that with the economic and financial crisis that's taking place. People are pulling the levers, and the traditional actions are not following. And what I think you're going to see in the future, and Professor Schwab has talked about this a number of times, is this kind of lateral leadership. In fact, what's needed now is people who can confront a completely different set of circumstances and very quickly reach out across a broad network to really diverse sources of solutions and informations and quickly move to implementation and action. And that's what 20-year-olds are good at. It's not so much being great strategists or a great process. They're starting out at the beginning of their career, so maybe they don't have that same experience, but boy, can they find information quickly, and boy, can they move to action without hesitation. And I think that's probably the kind of fresh thinking and fresh air that we need into our international systems. All these organizations in the world, international organizations like the World Economic Forum, the United Nations and others, they might have youth programs, but they're kind of off in a little box somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's young people talking to young people. And what we're trying to do with the Global Shapers community is plug empowered young people into the decision makers directly. The World Economic Forum has the best platform in the world for leaders from all walks of society. And if we can bring the youth voice and just help bring that fresh thinking and those new ideas without any of the biases and cynicism, I think we'll make a big impact.
I mean, when you're looking, this is quite timely as well with all these Occupy movements, which is, I think, probably the bulk is people in that age group. Do you think this is an important part of this? Do you think these voices of these global shapers in our community have a direct link to those people who are in these Occupy movements?
Well, I think the World Economic Forum is always very careful to be nonpartisan and apolitical. But if you read some of the most recent opinion editorials by our founder, Professor Klaus Schwab, you'll see that he's the first to recognize that the global system's out of whack. When you have executive pay at several multiples of the base salaries, that there's a problem in the system. And I think the Occupy movements respond to a real political disenfranchisement of people who feel that even if they do exercise their democratic rights to vote, nobody's listening and the places of power are closed to them. And so even if we remain completely neutral and apolitical, true to our mission, the reality is that what we're trying to do is to put these voices in touch with the people who make the decisions. And I think that's really important. And that's what the World Economic Forum has always tried to do in terms of bringing NGO leaders in, bringing in academics to speak to business leaders and political leaders, always trying to speak truth to power, always trying to bring that perspective of the rest of the world to the leaders who are making the decisions. Because they're the ones who are looking after our global public space.
So we talked a little bit about what we get from having this Global Shapers community. What do they get? What do Global Shapers get from being involved in this community?
One of the best quotes I heard was a Global Shaper who said to me, when I asked that the very same question, so what's in it for you guys? Why are you guys interested? He said, Global Shapers gives me knowledge, networks, and knighthood. And I sort of paused and I said, okay, knowledge, yeah, I get it. You're going to be in this really diverse community, artists, political leaders, all sorts of, young people with great ideas. Got the knowledge part. Networks, for sure. I mean, even within your own city, because this thing is organized around city hubs, you're going to have access to people that you wouldn't otherwise encounter in your normal walk of life. So I get the networks. I said, but the knighthood, what's the knighthood? And he said, well, David, think about it. What made knights special back in the Middle Ages? Maybe they had nicer horses or equipment or whatever. But in fact, the only reason why they were like better fighters than people was because somebody had given them a title and said, you're special. You're a knight. Go out and save the kingdom. And so I think there's a sense of that, a sort of recognizing young people for not only their accomplishments, because we're looking for people who are accomplished, but also the potential. We choose Global Shapers on the basis that they're already showing that they want to use their leadership and their potential leadership to serve society. So in that sense, we're backing the people who have a predisposition to be knights, but recognizing them for that and saying, you can go out and make a difference. We are
positive reinforcement.
Yeah, and self-fulfilling prophecy in a sense. I mean, when people feel they can change the world, guess what? They go out and do it. Not that we need to empower this generation, though. I keep coming back on this when people ask me about, oh, it's so great that you're empowering young people. I say, that they're already empowered. We're just taking that voice to the seats of power.
Giving them a platform.
Exactly, yeah, and helping channel that. And I think, coming back to your sort of question about Occupy Wall Street or the Arab Spring, I mean, I think that's a really important role that the World Economic Forum can play in terms of helping a crowd of like-minded people come together into a community for a constructive purpose rather than turning into a mob for destructive purposes. And I think if you look at what's happening in Tunisia and Egypt now, you find young people saying, okay, we got rid of the dictators. We knew what we were against, but what are we for? What do we want to replace it with? It's really easy to be against something. It's really hard to unite and construct a vision of what you're for. And so our hope would be that the Global Shapers community could actually be a bridge to all those other young people in other countries who can say, well, let's talk about this. Let's help you find a constructive vision, or let's talk about the values that are important to our generation, and think about what we can do about it. We've plugged the community together on an interactive platform, because of course they're all online all the time. And the discussions that are emerging are just fascinating. People talking about slavery. You know, there are more slaves now than at any other time in history. There are more people being trafficked, more human beings in slavery now than any time in history. And yet, nobody's talking about it. And all of a sudden, you know, this generation is manifesting this as one of the issues that they'd like to talk about and they'd like to raise awareness about. And, you know, that's not necessarily something that would come up in traditional discussions, you know, about macroeconomics and changing society. And yet, you know, it's something that these young people have already identified as just an aberration. And how can that exist in their generation and in their time?
That was David Aikman. Now let's hear from some of the shapers themselves. Sarah Noble is an aspiring leader in the field of peace and security, and she's the chief of staff and director of external relations at Interpeace. Eliana Sabag has worked with the Aga Khan Foundation and is currently the president and co-founder of Geneva Wise, which is an organization committed to improving the living conditions of youth in developing countries. Here's what they had to say about the role of youth and their hopes for the future.
Well, my name is Sarah Noble. I'm originally from Canada, but I've been living here in Geneva for the past 6 years. I am a global shaper because I want to change the world. It sounds quite idealistic, but I've always known that everybody has a role to play in changing the world. My main focus is on peace and conflict and how people can work together to create a better society for themselves.
Eliana.
So yes, hi, I'm Eliana Sabag, and I'm a global shaper for similar reasons. I also believe that we all have a very important role to play in shaping the future, particularly as young people. We're the ones who are going to be around. We're the ones with the motivating ideas and energy to really make change happen. I think the idealism that Sarah pointed to, I think, is what makes a young global shaper. It's that, you know, we aren't jaded, we aren't pessimistic. We really see the future as something very optimistic. So I'm particularly interested in poverty alleviation, and I've worked for several years with the Aga Khan Foundation. I've just come back actually from Madagascar, leaving them for personal reasons to allow my husband to follow his professional aspirations. So I'm now actually becoming a social entrepreneur. So I guess I'm an aspiring social entrepreneur with a few projects on the go, trying to see how I can have a more effective and cost-effective and entrepreneurial approach to achieving social change.
So, why the Global Shapers? Why did you join this community? What do you hope it's going to bring you guys? We'll start with you, Eliana.
I feel that bringing people together in a group of particularly young people together, we're much stronger as a group than we are as individuals. And what's really fascinating about the Young Global Shapers is that we are from so many different walks of life. In our group, we have politicians, we have entrepreneurs, we have, you know, people who are in development, we have you know, people who are more on the fundraising side, people more on the programs. I mean, really, it's a big mishmash of different backgrounds and approaches to social change. And bringing all these people around the table, we have the potential to really pull those ideas and actually be very proactive about how we achieve our objectives.
Yep. No, I agree with what Eliana is saying. It's really interesting to see the diversity of the group and different people with different backgrounds, and when you bring everybody together, you can see there are a lot of commonalities, even if we're working in different sectors, and how we can have different ideas on how we can change the world, not only in the future, but right now. I mean, we've been working to start to develop our project on in terms of what we want to do and how we want to try to take the pulse of what young people are thinking in Geneva and around the world, not just only us as shapers, but to branch out to the wider to young people, if you look at the statistics today. So that's what's exciting. It also makes you wonder why some of these initiatives aren't already happening.
No, I mean, a lot of people ask the question, these young people, why should we take them seriously? Why should we take you seriously?
I think, you know, very often in life, people get onto a certain path and just kind of follow it and get into their silos and continue and plod along and do their thing. What's different about a young person's approach to life is that everything is possible. And I think that position in a young person's experience, which I think by being part of the Global Shapers allows you to maintain and continue that sense of possibility and of expansion, is why we should be taken seriously, because we see things from a different perspective. We see things from an optimistic vision and are wholly committed to making change happen. And we are the energy and the driving force that will allow change to really happen.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
For me, it's not a question of, oh, it's young people, why should we take them seriously, or older people, we should take them seriously. It's a question of how you want to make change, and I don't think it really comes down to an age. I think what we're seeing now with the Occupy movements and what's happening with the Eurozone and in the United States, people are feeling like they aren't being represented, and they there's a lack of legitimacy in terms of people representing them. And I think young people have an energy that and will take things forward and not necessarily feel like they need to be constrained by the time that I'm 30, I need to be in middle management. By the time I'm 50, I need to be a CEO. I think we feel like we can just do it, and there shouldn't be any constraints. But I'm a bit concerned of sometimes, you know, we say, oh, the old people or the young people. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an us versus them, but we're all in this together. This is our world. So,
well, you touched on something, the Occupy movements. Mm-hmm. And also, if you look at what happened in the Arab world, the Arab Spring, I mean, do you feel this is predominantly a kind of a young groundswell that has started this? I mean, it seems when you look at the videos from, it's mostly young people that are doing this. Do you feel like you as Global Shapers might be kind of a link to some of those people who are creating these movements?
I mean, I think that young people are frustrated today because, like, looking out and seeing what the world is becoming and realizing that although it isn't necessarily because of us, I mean, to a large extent, it's not because of us. A lot of young people are very responsible about the way that they live and the decisions they take, but are bearing the brunt of, you know, some of the poor decisions that have been taken ahead of them, and so are very frustrated. Particularly, there's, you know, the high level of unemployment among youth is causing many young people to take to the streets, not without any option, without choice of what to occupy them, to have a future, to feel that they have a sense of independence, of growth, of progress. And I think so that frustration surely is contributing to some of these movements that we're mm-hmm. seeing across the world.
Yeah. I think we're living in exciting, exciting times. I remember watching in February everything that was going on in Egypt, and I think it's people don't feel like the mechanisms are in place for them to have their voices heard, so they take mm-hmm. take to the streets. I think even with the Occupy movement, it's touching on something that's very real. People are very upset that they don't feel like their leaders are in charge. It's a feeling of we have the system, but there's no way to control it. And there are a lot of criticisms of the Occupy movement because it doesn't have a vision or it doesn't know where it's going. But I think in democracies that we live in, it's important if people don't feel that they are being listened to, that they can have a peaceful way of showing their leaders, you know, you need to take our voices into account.
Now, this is the thing, I mean, with these Occupy movements, and do you feel like they are forcing change?
Well, they're certainly getting the issues mm-hmm. spoken about. I mean, we're talking about it here today, right? I mean, it was the first topic that was raised. So I think, you know, it's all over the media. People are really not given a choice but to listen to this. Now, I mean, whether, you know, this particular thing will result in change, I mean, we don't know. We can't anticipate the impact of a movement. But I think the objective is certainly that leaders will begin to communicate better with the general population, that there is a level of equality which is at least attempted mm-hmm. to be achieved throughout society, where, you know, certain rights are preserved, particularly for the poorer segments of society.
part of the challenge is that you need to work really hard to get what you want. And I've had a lot of opportunities that maybe some other people aren't able to have. So I don't think it's a question of apathy. I think it's a question of, you know, I know I have a lot of friends who've done master's degrees and, you know, they're still doing internships at this stage. And it's quite frustrating to try to get your foot in the door and try to get a job.
Yeah, I would second that as well. I think, you know, when you're born into a certain life, you're born into a certain situation, and certain opportunities are much more available to some people than they are for others. And I think, of course, life is what you make of it. But at the same time, we're not living in a situation where opportunities are equal all around, regardless of the fact now that today, I mean, without a master's degree, you can't do much. And not everyone can afford a master's degree, you know, and mm-hmm. and not everyone has access to, you know, the great universities which are actually going to get you the jobs. And even if they do, then you sometimes get into this cycle of, you know, of internships, as Sarah was pointing out.
Mm-hmm. So now, finally, the Global Shapers, what are you guys hoping to get out of this?
I would really like to see some concrete... I mean, we're really at the beginning here of our activities. We've had, three or four meetings, mm-hmm. and we're really starting to kind of form our ideas about how we want to see change happen and what steps we're going to take to actually get there. But I think there's a general commitment all around that we want to see... action. We want to see impact. We want to be able to measure it, touch it, feel it, and really be able to come out of this and say, you know, what we've done has changed lives, has changed the situation for many. We want scale. We're very ambitious, I suppose, but at this stage, we're really just looking at trying to understand what are the motivations and priorities for the youth, because I think that's the starting point.
Yeah, I think it's also about creating a platform for young people to be engaged. I mean, we are representatives of different sectors of society of young people, but it's also reaching out to the broader youth in Geneva and around the world, and having young people ask themselves and engage with other young people about, you know, what is it that you want your world to look like? What do you need? What are your challenges? What are your priorities?
That's it for this edition of Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Michelle Mishler.
And I'm Michael Hanley. Next week, we introduce you to the finalists of the Swiss Social Entrepreneur Awards. Three very different but equally unique projects are up for the award.